I don't know who reads the front covers at all. We have the nice pictures, but the names of the Sundays are carried forward from the traditional lectionary. And every once in a while, one will just catch my eye. You know, this is one of my favorites. This is Rogate Sunday. It's the Rogation Days. There was a big deal made about Rogation Days. Rogation Days are, I think it's April 25th, and then it's the I think Sunday, Monday, Tuesday before Ascension. And it's a time of celebrating the harvest. You heard it in our prayers. What the Lord has given to us. Of being thankful for the things that we've been given in crops, in food. And one of my favorite, and we've got so many new faces out there, I get to tell this again, but one of my favorite parts of Rogation Days, as I kind of look back and it's like, man, we're just missing out on these traditions. The pastor would lead the congregation around the boundaries of the parish. He'd say, see that tree? That tree there? That's the end of our parish. Take note of that tree. That's where our land ends. And they'd go and they'd keep walking and they'd maybe sing a psalm and they'd go down that right there, that big rock. That's the other corner of our parish. They would walk the boundaries of the parish. Now, when you're trying to pass on this information to the younger generation so they know what land is owned, what makes up the town. And of course, if you have young kids, what are young kids going to do? Well, they're going to skip, they're going to climb trees. So they used to beat them with sticks, and it was called the beating of the bounds. I'm not making this up. We need to bring traditions like that back. But it was the beating of the bounds, and this is the day in which that would take place. We'd walk and discover the border and be thankful. Pastors would go and they would bless the fields. Sort of how we have our blessing of homes at Epiphany. Rogation Days was very traditional to have the pastor bless the fields for a good harvest. It was being thankful and asking. And that's what rogate means in Latin. Ask. Ask. We've heard it in the Bible. Ask. Whatever you ask in my name, you will be given it. Well, that's what today's gospel lesson is about as well. It helps us understand that, because as a pastor, this is one of the things that cause many people to stumble. The number of people that I run into who were raised in Christian homes but are no longer believers, you ask them why, and almost every one of them has a very similar story. When my mother, my father, my cousin, my best friend had cancer, I asked, I prayed, and they still died. So I'm done. I'm just giving up. I can't get over how common that is. And I think what has happened is we have forgotten the lesson that Jesus has taught us. It's whatever you ask in my name. It's not whatever you ask, but whatever you ask in my name. Jesus would ask things that was completely in sync and in line with the furthering of the kingdom and the will of his Father. That's what it means to ask in the name of Jesus. And he even gives us a model prayer. Not one that we have to pray, but one that is a great example of what it means to ask in his name. And when we come to understand the purpose of prayer, the purpose of going to the Father in conversation, of trying to be of the same mindset, to further his kingdom, and to be a part of his will, it'll help us understand better when prayers are answered in the way we think they should be answered versus the way that God wants them to be answered. His will is perfect. Ours, not so much. We pray for things out of greed. We prayed for things out of a desire to one-up other people, whether it's a neighbor, a coworker, a friend. We have different intentions. So I thought it would be interesting to go through the Our Father today and think about the different parts that make up a good model prayer. Once again, you don't have to pray this one. There are people out there that think this is the only prayer. That's not the case. I get to hear a blessing every Sunday before worship from our elder and our deaconess, and they are beautiful prayers. And this is a good one too. We start off with an invocation. Our Father who art in heaven. This isn't just anyone. This is our Father. We are a part of a bigger family. Our family extends beyond these walls. Our family extends beyond this town, beyond this country. God is the Father. And being our Father, He is our head. That's a tough thing when you're a kid to understand, is do as I say, not as... Well, that's a bad example. Scratch that. There's me stopping back the recorder up. It's a tough thing to understand as a child, though, but growing up, when your father tells you to do something, knowing that it's better for you than maybe in your mind you would anticipate or you would expect. You want to do something else. God knows all. He knows what's right and what's good for us. We may not see it, we may not understand it, but when He says, don't, we should take Him on His word that that's a good thing. Our Father in heaven, a ruler of all, the head of this household, hallowed be Thy name. Have you thought of that? I love just going through the Bible and thinking about the names of God. Let me throw some of the names out there. You've probably heard of some before, but these are Hebrew names. El. In Hebrew, that means God, the powerful one. El Shaddai. We heard a song called El Shaddai many, many years ago. El Shaddai, God Almighty. Elyon. The Most High, Adonai, Lord and Master, Jehovah, or Yahweh, to be. I am what I am. When Moses said, give me a name, I got to go give him a name. Who are you? What is your name? Tell them, I am what I am. I exist. I am God. Hallowed, holy is His name. It's not just any name, but it's a very holy name, and we need to approach in reverence. I've told you the story before, and when I grew up, there was a reverence that almost scared me. I'm not saying that's necessarily a bad thing, but at the same time, as I grew older, I realize that there is a portion or there is a part of God that says, I'm here, the Jesus with the sheep, the Jesus who's caring, who's tender. You can approach that in a reverent, holy way without dumbing it down to a level where, oh yeah, he's just a good old buddy, let's go head out and skateboard, Jesus. I think that's pushing it a little bit too far. Holy is the Son of God. Holy is the Father in heaven. Holy is the Spirit that penetrates our hearts and brings us close to Him. And there should be some level of reverence as we approach Him. I always find it interesting to stand up here while we receive the body and blood of our Lord. There's a part of me that wants to smile because I'm just so happy. I'm being recharged for the week. And yet there's another part of me that says, this is the body of Jesus Christ. I'm not worthy. And we have that in our invitation, I think it's called. I'm not worthy to receive this, but say the word and it shall be so. It is only by the grace of God that I am even capable of receiving that beautiful sacrament of the forgiveness of sins through the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thy kingdom come. God is a king. He reigns over His kingdom. I had this quote here. Let me find it. My eyes are... It's interesting, as you get older and you get bifocals, you have to look different ways when you're reading something. Only when the Father, on the basis of the Son's atonement, through the operation of the Holy Spirit, rule over men's hearts, then the kingdom is here. It confused me as a kid when Jesus said the kingdom is near. If you only knew what stood before you. The kingdom is near. But then other parts of the New Testament say the kingdom is coming. It's sort of like a locomotive. Those locomotives are long. They might have four big giant diesel engines pulling them. And that train goes on forever. And you can say, number one, there's nothing that's going to stop that locomotive, certainly not on a dime. It's here, but it's still coming. His kingdom is here, working out through our hearts. Think about it. The kingdom started with those disciples being sent out. That was it. Just that small band of men. And now look, you know, there's more of you here today than there was of disciples that he originally sent out. There's churches all up and down this river, all the way from Pittsburgh, all the way down there through 65 and out to Elwood City. There are churches in Africa, in China, in India, in South America. I don't know it for a fact, but I wouldn't be surprised if Antarctica has some chapel or church nearby where a few people gather. The kingdom is here, and yet the kingdom is coming. And it's gaining ground, gaining steam, if you want to keep with the illustration. Your will be done. God's will, well, I should finish that. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do you ever think about that? God's will is perfect in heaven. Everything happens exactly as he desires. We're asking your will be done on earth just as it is in heaven. He desires the salvation of all people. Some people put up brick walls and say, I don't want it. Not interested. We need to pray for those people. To break down, let the Holy Spirit break down those walls that have been erected, to let the Spirit flow into their hearts as it has flowed into ours. That's the good start of a prayer, a good invocation and some facts, some attributes about God, that He's almighty, that He reigns, and His will be accomplished. And then we get into what we need. What are our prayers? What are we asking for in the name of Jesus? Give us this day our daily bread. It's funny, when God gave the people roaming through the desert manna, bread from heaven, they originally ate it, and then they said, we're tired of this stuff. We've got to watch. We've got to be careful we don't fall into the same traps as those that wandered in the desert. Give us today our daily bread, the things we need. And it depends on which commentaries you read. Either the things we need to get through today or the things we need to get through tomorrow. The things we need to sustain us, to keep us healthy, nourished, alive. Give us that. I think it also teaches us a little bit about moderation. Because what would you do if you had access to all the great foods? That's what happens when you have access to great foods. It teaches us a little bit of moderation. I'm not worried about the extended time. Just give me what I need today, my daily bread. The people in the desert hoarded up the manna from heaven, even though they were told, I'll give you everything you need each day. And they hoarded it up and it rotted. We're so thick sometimes. It also teaches us trust. Do you trust in God to give you those things necessary for your sustenance? I know I watch those Alaskan shows. I think it'd be tough to be an atheist in Alaska. It's the way I see it. They work hard. They have to put a lot of faith into things. And I have no idea what their religion, their background, or what their thoughts are. They don't show that on the shows, but I'd have to think they would be. You have winter storms that come up out of nowhere. Heat waves. You realize Alaska was warmer than it was here this year? That's another reason we should move there, Julie. Come on. That's a different story. But you have to really fight and put some trust in things for those things that are coming up. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Two big points that come from this. The first one, which many books that I've read have pointed out, talks about a sense of, I want to be forgiven just as I forgive other people. I think there certainly is that point involved with this particular petition of the Lord's Prayer. It teaches us, wow, I'm sure glad that grace is involved and mercy, because I don't want to get what I deserve. I try to be forgiven, to be one who forgives very freely, and it's difficult. It's hard to forgive people. Jesus has completely forgiven us. But there's another sense to this as well, a sense of reconciliation. Forgive us our debts. Forgive the things we owe. To me, it immediately draws to mind that Jesus paid a ransom for us. There was a bounty on our head. We were destined for death. And he said, it's paid. Paid in full. Believe in me, it's gone. I wipe the slate clean. And that is big. And it stands out. Open wide that door of reconciliation, what Jesus has done for us, to those people in your life. And lastly, deliver us from evil. I was always taught, deliver us from evil. I think that's in the King James, I think. But I think there's a really good argument for translating that, deliver us from the evil one, as the NIV translated it. Keep us away from the tempter. Don't let us fall into the footsteps to stray off the path of righteousness into those things that would tempt us, that would pull us away from God. We're like dogs, you know? I take the puppy out and I say, come on, we're going to walk from here to there. And she's right behind me, and next thing I turn around, where'd you go? There's something shiny over here. Hey, but I want you to follow me. I know, but there was something shiny over here. We're like that. We walk the paths of righteousness until something shiny distracts us. And this prayer says, keep us away from the evil one. Let us fix our eyes on the straight path. That's a good prayer. And I'll throw the conclusion in, even though it wasn't in our reading. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. This is your kingdom. We are your children. Work through us. Keep us safe. And may it be so. That's what amen means. So be it. It's a good prayer. So when you hear Jesus say, ask. Ask. Go into prayer and ask. But ask in a way that says, not my will, but thy will. May it be so according to what you desire in my life. He knows what we need. We just need to go and ask and keep furthering that kingdom. Amen.